Yishar Reach Nichalach Hashem. A very, very familiar sounding phrase. We've heard it many, many times. Starting Chumash Vayikra, we'll probably do well to try to figure out what it actually means. Yisha Reach Nichalach Hashem. What it means and what it's supposed to be telling us. If it appears in Chumash often, that means it's telling us something important.
Rashi, so Ramban writes, Perak Aleph Pasuk Tes, Ola, he begins by quoting Rashi, as he often does, Ola, Isha, Reach Nechoach Hashem, so Torah describes it as such, so Ola tells me, we know it's an Ola, we said that before, we were discussing a carbon Ola, L'Shem Ola, when you bring the carbon, you have to bring with intent that it should be a carbon Ola, Isha, Kishish Chatenu, Yehe Shochet L'Shem Ha'esh. Isha, that's not Isha. Isha as a woman is spelled the same way, but Isha, a woman, is with a kamatz before the head. Isha, Riach Nichar Hashem, that's with a segel under the shin, a segel before the head. Unrelated words. Isha, Yehish Chatenu, Yehe Shochet L'Shem Ha'esh. It's a fire item. It's an Aish item. And specifically, that means, so why does the Chumash have to tell me? We said, well, the Chumash says elsewhere that it's being fully burnt. The point of describing it as a fire item is that you need to have that in mind. We were talking earlier this week about the role of Machshava in bringing Karbanos. You have to have in mind that's going to be an Olam, and you have to intend, you have to have in mind that it's going L'Shem Ha'esh for the fire. V'chol Isha, he continues to quote from Rashi, L'Shon Eish. Isha is related to the word Eish? Okay. Nichoach. What is Reach Nichoach L'Hashem? What's Nichoach? Nachas Ruach L'Fanai Sha'amarti V'Nasa Ratzona. L'Shon Rashi. That's a Nachas Ruach for Ribono Shalom, that human beings are compliant. So he says, for starters, Lo Pirish Harav Mahu L'Shem Ha'esh. What do you mean L'Shem Ha'esh? It's for the fire. And they don't mean that we're not worshiping the fire. So you're intending it for the fire. You're intending it for the fire. The Gemara Amru La Puki Kevava Delo. Because the Gemara in Zachum says L'Shem Ha'esh, that is Rashi's source, as opposed to Kevava. What's Kevava? What's Kevava? You've seen that word before. But let's keep reading the Ramban for now. You've all seen that word before. Within a few hundred feet of where we're standing right now. Yeah, you've just seen it in a different alphabet. So let's keep, for now, let's keep working our way through the Ramban. Upir Shubo! So what's the pshat? They explain, it points on the bottom, you can look at the Rashi on that Gemara, you can look at the Aruch on that Gemara. L'shem Eish means that you're shechting the carbon so that you can ultimately burn the carbon olam on a roaring fire on top of this bech. Lo lahalos al gabe gecholim olmos shemitzkabos v'holchos. What's kivava? As Rashi there explains, Rashi in Zachum says kivava is like l'shem kibui, so extinguish. Well, I mean, extinguishing, you mean a fire that's dying out. The intent has to be you're going to put it on a roaring fire that's going to incinerate the carbon, and now you're going to put it onto chaloshes, you know, yesterday's charcoal. It's already going out. It's not going to do a very good job. So Ramban says, let's give it a little twist. Linear, to me it seems, should tzarech lechavein, because you have to ask yourself, thinking about Rashi. Either those coals could, they're not quite a roaring fire, but they could still incinerate the carbon, so then what's wrong? Or else they can't, so then, well, you're not going to do Haktara at all. What's the point of saying weak coals? Either they'll burn it well, so they'll burn it well, or else they're not going to burn well, so it's just the equivalent of no coals whatsoever. So how can you tell me the Gemara says kevava, it means extinguishing coals. It sounds like a funny category. That might be what's driving the Ramban to say something similar but different. Tzarech lechaven shetochleno ha'esh lagarmen. The point is you need to put it, your intent has to be that it's going to be consumed by the fire. Totally incinerated. After we're talking about carbon ola, what's unique about a carbon ola as opposed to other carbonous behemoth is that the meat of the animal is meant to be burned rather than eaten. Lo, sheitz l'shama'at, as if to, if they have intent l'shem ha'esh, you're going to incinerate the meat as opposed to grilling it. Oh, put it on the fire until it's ready, until it's good to eat. Where do you get that from? Now, the question is, what is it? It's a nice shot. What does that have to do with the words that the Gemara uses? The Gemara said, Eish l'shem Eish is opposed to kivava. So Rashi had said kivava is kaf beis hay, is Hebrew shoresh for to extinguish. L'chabos, kibui, mechaber. In modern Hebrew, you know that from your list of lamentas v'lachas. In modern Hebrew, a firefighter is a kabai. Rabban says, no, that's not what it is. Hum l'shonam ben soru more kivasar kiva da achali ganvi. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, talking about the ben soru more, like meat that is kiva, which ganavim would eat. In other words, barely grilled. We're not talking about destroying the meat. We're talking about grilling the meat. Kibasar kiva. V'meseches eruvin. V'nachbiv v'nechol. Let's be machbiv it, and then let's eat it. So obviously, we're not talking about this. The whole point is that kiba is a way of preparing the food for eating. And you've all seen this word, as I told you before, albeit in a different alphabet, within a few hundred feet of where we're standing right now. Being that we are overlooking Amsterdam Avenue, between 186 and 187th. So if you remember that that a bay's with a dog age is a bee, you've all, I don't know if you've eaten the kebabs across the street, but you've all seen them on the menu tens, if not hundreds of times. Kivava and kebab, hainu hach, that's grilled meat. V'nachbi v'nechol, let's make kebabs and eat. So it says the Ramban, that's l'shem esh as opposed to kivava. The point is not, you're not supposed to be turning the carbon ola into kebabs. The shlamin and the chatas you do. As a matter of fact, maybe for some other time, the Tosis does raise a sear between zvachim and chulin, what is the proper, best way to prepare basar ha-karbanos for eating. Is it any way you like them, or is it b'tzli u'v'chardel, specifically grilled and with mustard sauce? Tosis points out a sear between zvachim and chulin, which is ideal. Talking about Besara Karbanos and talking about Matnus Kahuna. So there can be different ways of resolving the stira. What Tosfos says is not that to talk about. What Tosfos says is that both are correct, and there's a. Depends. There's an objective standard and a subjective standard, Tosfos says. So if you have a personal preference, so we go with whatever your personal preference is. L'mashal l'gdula, you're supposed to eat this meat in a manner of greatness, in a manner of distinction. So if you have a personal preference, so you make it however you like it. If you have no personal preference, so that's when we say, then the default is b'tzli u'v'chardel. So I've thought at, I've mentioned at barbecues in the past, particularly barbecues in Lake Como, Pennsylvania, that l'maisa, what Tosis is saying, is there can be subjective preference. But with no subjective preference, you default to the halacha has an objective standard, objective definition of the best way to eat meat. That's elided by subjective preferences. But in the absence of any subjective preference, the halachic man loves his meat best grilled. That's a din. Perhaps a din daraisa. That the from a halachic perspective, the objectively best way, finest way to eat meat is tzli v'chardel. So something to think about. The next time you grill, the next time you have kevava, the next time you have your kebabs, so that is officially the best way to eat your carbon chatas, and perhaps to eat your carbon shlami. So as Rabban says, but ishem ech nichoach l'ashen, the Gemara says, that's for the shen eish, meaning
not just that you should be, as Rashi says, you should be having to burn it with a big fire. Ramban says it means you have to have kavanah that this is going to be burned rather than grilled and eaten by humans. And then finally, he says, Yesh garsim sham la puki, not kivava. Some have the girsa in the Gemara, givava, with a gimel. La puki givava delo. You should not intend for it to be givava. What's givava? That, he says, Vilma Sechashab, you should know what that means. She is kavein la ha'alosto al gabe esh al etzim, kidichsiv al ha'etzim asher al ha'esh, velo yachshov la ha'alosto al gabe esh al kash, v'shel givava. When you learn Masechus Shabbos, as he goes on to point out, the opening mission of the third parak talks about different ways to fuel your oven. And there are differences in halacha in terms of what you do, in terms of what we would call a blech, depends on what type of fire you have. So we differentiate there between a strong, sturdy fire of wood and coals versus a flimsy fire of kash and gvava, of straw. For those who have experienced Baruch Hashem making bonfires know that you start with tinder. You might start with a bird's nest or some handfuls of straw. I've had this chance to share some hiking experiences with some of you. But you don't, that's how you get your fire rolling. That's how you get your fire started. You don't keep it going with merely tinder. You build from tinder to kindling to a fuel. If you want to have a real fire, you build your way up to real logs. So that's what the Mishnah in the third parak of Shabbos talks about. And Rabban says, the third approach to L'Shem Eish means L'Shem Eish with real fuel as opposed to a flimsy amateur's fire of paper and cardboard and straw. So that's sort of reverting back to what Rashi said, maybe with a sharper Hagdar. Okay. So he says, so now that we've defined our terms a little bit, now we need to dig and understand what this is supposed to mean. Vehine b'kosva zeh tamar karbonos. Whether we're talking about that the fire should be a good fire, that should be, that we're seeking to burn it, but stepping back, looking from, stepping out, zooming out from the trees to the forest, this pasuk, Isha Rech Nekov HaShem, is telling us why we're bringing karbon. Because of that, Tamar karbon HaShem, Isha Rech Nekov HaShem. And what does that mean? He says, well, what is the reason for Kabbalah? He says, you look at Mor Hukim, Arav, the Rambam, the Mor Hukim writes, Kitama Kabbalah, Babu Shah Mitzvah, Bakastim, Shah Yisrael Gariv, Gavim, the Sushavim Baratzah, Me'olam, or you owe them Babar Kabbalah. Rambam writes, the Jews have been spending so much time in Egypt among the Egyptians, and before and after Mesopotamia, Babel, among the Babylonians, the Kastim, and these were pagan nations who worshipped cattle, who worshipped sheep. They worshipped farm animals. The mitzvah opened with Kalev, the custom opened with Hashem, Hashem, Yerulah, and it was Seirim. The Egyptians worshipped sheep. The custom would bring karbanos to shave them, which they saw as being goat images, or goat-like images. And Indians to this very day, the Rambam writes, and it continues to this very day, do not kill calves. Holy cow is not an originally Jewish concept. We have holy cows in the sense of you can not push a cow to be holy to borrow the carpet, which is exactly where he's going. As opposed to describing inherent Kiddusha, the cow is not the target of the Kiddusha. Because of this trend in pagan thought of worshiping domesticated animals, so Rabbi right, but his brother turns around and says, I want you to take those animals and bring them in the carpet. Use these as a carbonic to us, but his brother, Kadesha Yiba Da, Shia Kiyadabashai Choshevim, being the tachlis or avera, kula shirafu laborim. To reinforce and remind people that those items they thought were tachlis or avoda, perhaps, either they thought that these were the pinnacle of whom you would worship, or they thought that slaughtering these animals was the worst crime possible. In fact, that's what we're going to do: offer these animals as a carbon tribute. And then Rambam is bothered, okay, so there's value in shechting farm animals as a carbon lashem, but why would that be a carbon kachas? Because why is that also a vehicle for kapara? Okay, it's necessary to do this. You have to have a carbon tamei, you have to have a carbon musaf. Every Jew has to bring karbanos when he's ol regel. Jews need to be shechting farm animals from time to time as karbanos to reinforce that they are creatures, they are not the creator. Good! Says the Rambam, a carbon tie. Why is that a vehicle for kapar for some other? Ubodis, kapur, abonos, Rambam goes on to say, even the kapar is abonos through these karbanos. He came in Surapu ha'emunos, arose, shehem magde anefesh. So this is a way to heal the spiritual disease of distorted emunos. This is a way of addressing and fixing these distorted ideas, this fira of thinking that the cow is worthy of worship, thinking that the sheep is worthy of worship. You want to heal this problem, you got to go to the other, you got to do the opposite. That's an idea that Rambam talks about more generally, Mishmona Prokim. And in other days, about tikkun midos. If a person is on one extreme, they may need to briefly act to the other extreme so that the inner, the needle starts to move inside of where his midos are until he gets a healthy balance. Rambam says that here it applies to not the world of midos, to the world of tamuna. You have to go to the other extreme and check these animals to reinforce that they are not deities. Ele dvarav uvahem herim. Says Rabban, this is what the Rabban said, and he keeps going and going. I'm just giving you, Rabban says, a small snippet. I'm giving a little sampling of a far more lengthy Rabban, and the Rabban says, absolutely not. Rabban says, this is untenable. The Rabbi says, what? He thinks it's silly. Prepare yourself for some strong language. Rambam is not happy about the drama in a good way. But he's very clear about what he thinks is untenable about it. Yiraku'u sheber dodo v'kushya rabba al mikawa. You're trying to solve a major issue. You're trying to answer and give sense, solve major problems with a kapha. This is way too easy. You're not sufficiently addressing the question of what our kabbalah is all about. Specifically, Yasu Shulchan Hashem de Go'ol. You're transforming God's table into something gross, debased. Really? It's all about being hakrabas hakrabanas, which we describe in Tanakh in such moratory terms, in such ideal terms, it's all just about anti-Bakhtar. That's all it is. All there is to Kavanas is merely to cure people, to wean people off of Avodah Zarah thinking. Because number one, the Chumash makes it clear that it's not merely a solution to a problem, a cure to a theological disease, it's an inherently good thing. Look at the language in this pasuk. You're providing something positive. You're doing something. You're a bonus law. That's what it means. Rambam's raising a good question. Rambam's raising an excellent question. But Rabban says, but you have it, you raised the extra question, you're not sufficient adequately answering it. All it is merely anti-Avodah Zarah. Torah says you're doing something of value. The Rabban also makes the argument that maybe this wouldn't even solve the problem that he's talking about. And now we hold it in baby theology. Tosifma is not going to solve the problem. He says, they might, the Mitzrim would interpret this, you're offering the sheep as an offering to the creator of the universe, they may take that as a great sign of value in the sheep. Rabban writes, let's read that. Number one, Rabban says, sounds from the Tzukim, and this is something positive. Isha Re'ach Yifar Hashem, Lechem. It's not merely solving a problem. Number two, he's not even sure that it would solve the problem. I think what he may be driving at is that they didn't necessarily, not all these pagan groups, not all of them deified the animals. Some saw them as very sacred, up there in the pantheon somewhere, so they may have taken offering this animal that they hallowed to some other Avodah Zarah as a sign of respect all around. So for a Jew who's mamon in Achus HaBoreh to take one of those animals and sacrifice it in Kadosh Baruch Hu, the pagans might have applauded that. Rabban says, you're not even solving your problem. Avodah Zarah is a problem. Believing that these animals are belong to the pantheon is Avodah Zarah. But those pagans might have embraced the idea of bringing them as a carcass. So that's not going to help. And then he goes on and goes back to his first mission. Arab Mazkir. Top of page 8, number 7. Arab Mazkir, showing my people all the wonderful Rosh Hashanah. Rama mentioned that many pagan groups, many of the Avodah Zarah, would sacrifice, those who worship the moon would sacrifice to the moon every Shodesh Kodesh. V'la Shemesh, v'alosev mazolz ha'yidurum l'hemis tefeh. Many of the Avodah Zarah worship the sun, would offer sacrifices to the sun at sunrise. And he writes, that maybe the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh of the Kamach al Shachar is a response to that. So the Ramban says, again, Yosef Tisrabe HaMachal Bachle Mehem Losoda Shul Asur Lehem U'mabuna Be'inim Lo Yi'i and Lo Yasu Kein Mi'olam. If we really wanted to demonstrate that we don't deify these farm animals, we shouldn't bring them in a highly respectable fashion as a carbut. We should just eat them at home. That would really be downgrading the farm animals from the way the pagans look at them to mere farm animals. Don't bring them as a carbon as a mikdash. Just eat meat. Eat meat and show that they're nothing, they're just animals. They're not deities. They're not demi-deities. If that's the goal, there are better, more effective ways to accomplish your goal. And then he goes further. Not only is it true, Rabban argues, that if the purpose, the objective was to show that we don't worship cows and sheep and goats, there'd be better ways to do it, and this might not even be so effective. He says, going back to his first point, you know, that it can't be that all it is. He says, Karbanos appear in many different contexts. Not only do the Pesukim Vayikra in a halachic context, Lechem Yishareach Nechav Hashem makes it sound like it's something positive. Look back at one of the first times you come across Karbanos HaMamash. Noah puts Esav in a teva in Shlosh Hasbana. Noah comes out of the teva with his nuclear family, and what does he do? He brings a carbon. Eimalom Kastio Mitzri. He was not in the context of a larger pagan culture. It was just that. Hikr carbon, but he took Bein Hashem. He brought a carbon, and the Torah described Ribbono Shel Olam was very pleased the fact they brought a carbon. But Yarach Hashem is Reach Enichala. And as a result, so we say, I could Baruch Hu Yomer Elibolo Asif Ode Kalel Sadav Avor Adam.
it was very positive, with positive in there. So it is clearly, even if the Rambam is correct, that there is an aspect of Karbanos that's an anti-Avodah Zarah, it's clearly, and even the Rambam is sure that there's even an aspect, it's clearly not the whole picture. And move that even further. Hello! Rosha wasn't pleased with the Kayan Karbon, he didn't believe that was Karbon. Rosha was a dying bone of Shabbat, so it was their cloud. And all of them needs to do with that in the history of the Zara. Hevel and Kayan. That hasn't happened yet. So Karbonos are an independently meaningful concept. And now he has another twist. You can look at that to Hevel and Noah, where it's clearly not anti-Avodah Zarah because there is no Avodah Zarah in the context. Or you could go in a totally different direction and look at Bilam. Bilam Omar, Shem Shem Zav is Bavon Zarachti. Va'al Karbaya Avodah Zarah. Bilam brings the Karbanos. Ein Daito Ata L'Shlol Mimenu Emunos Rose. Bilam is Tavuka. But Bilam does not seem like he was seeking to get rid of his Shemetz Avodah Zarah. So, Hevel and Noach on the one hand, Bilam on the other hand, and then in terms of narratives in the Chumash, and then in terms of the halachic lines in the Chumash, the direct description, Yisharech Lechorach Hashem, Lechem Yisharech Lechorach Hashem, what's going on? Bilam says, it wasn't about getting rid of Avodah Zarah, also came the Karba, and Elohim, Yishach Lola, but Yibur. He's trying to bring himself closer to Moshe, so then he'll induce the Gula. And again, as we said, coming back home to the Parsha of Vayikra, and to Pesukim later at the end of the Chumash of Mizra, they're discussing the halachas of Karbanos. Lashona Karbanos says, Karban Yilach Mi Yishai, Reach Mi Chaldi. Pesukim that we say every day, Karbanos, the Karban Tamar. What's going on? And then he makes the logical argument, Chalila! All it is addressing foolish paganism. Really? Rabban says, I really, for all these reasons, he finds the Rambam very, 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 a very unappealing approach to trying to figure out what Rambam is all about. The Rambam's kasha is a great kasha. We should figure out what purpose here. So much of the Chumash about Karbanos, and Rabban pointed out, so many stories in the Tanakh involve Karbanos. You think about it. All throughout Chumash, and beyond through the next season, you hear about Karbanos again and again and again. Abdul Rahman Darshani. Rabban says, Rabban and Gekasha, I'm just not pleased with his answer. Remember, before we go to Rabban, to say, a number of you had a bunch.
Another
That's a very good point. You're saying that Rambam's approach only addresses carbon behemoth. Does not address carbon alphos and carbon and kiporos. Correct. Now the truth is, Yedidia is adding another raya that the Rambam's approach is inadequate, and that he only addresses, at least what we saw from the Rambam, he only addresses animal carbonos. Now, we would do well to open a Mordechuchen. Rambam told us, even without opening Mordechuchen, we already know that there's more there. Rabban told us that the Rambam was Marv. So it would be worth opening up and seeing. He may address similar issues, pagan use of Ketores. There are unholy ways to smoke. There are unholy ways to take plant substances and burn them. As we know, Arayom Hazeh. And in other cultures, it's not only been a matter of pleasure-seeking, but the pleasure-seeking has been intermingled with some sort of theological overlay. There definitely are pagan cultures which use smoking different psychoactive plants as a part of their worship, and sort of mingle in classical pagan fashion, sort of mingle the pleasure with the Bonzara. Conceivably one can say something soon about the Torah. I want to show you something before we move back to Arban. We'll look for a moment. Shema Tomar, that let's look at something he says about a non-animal. There are Rabban says about non-animal. It will also address the point that he's not totally rejecting the Rambam. You look at the Parak Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, where he addresses the din that the Torah presents. One of the mitzvahs losas in Parsha Yikra is that the mizbeach has to remain chametz free and sugar free. And now we mark the sa'or u'dvash, a guy in his bath. You can't add honey or any fruit sweetness to a carbon, specifically it comes up more typically with a carbon, and it cannot be chametz. All anything that the shehalacha was chametz, it was not burnt on Gavin's bath. Anything burnt on Gavin's bath had to be matzah. It was sometimes very thick. It involved a lot of liquid, but whoever was taking care of preparing them in the Beis HaMikdash had to make sure that they remained chametz free. This is definitely Sfaradi matzah. Way beyond Ashkenazi matzah. So in this week's parsha, carbon menachos could be crisp, or they could be big and lush and soft. But either way, they are all matzah. They're all chametz free. If you needed a raya, the Sfaradi matzah is right. The Ashkenazi minhag, as an aside, Ashkenazi developed the minhag for Pesach purposes to streamline the way we make matzah into very specific thin type of matzahs to make sure that it streamlines it, just to make sure that it's easy for people all over the world working with a variety of types of ovens to make sure that it's going to be kashrut Pesach. So that was a minhag that Ashkenazim accepted, to only make certain types of matzah. That way you avoid the potential for misogyny. But strictly speaking, matzah could be thick or thin, matzah could be crisp or soft. It takes more skill to make thick matzah and keep it matzah, keep it not much. But that's the din. There's an Isra Chametz in Pesach all over the world, and there's an Isra Chametz all year long in the Beis HaMikdash, specifically Agav HaMizbeach. Lechapanim are also not Chametz, even though they weren't actually offered Mizbeach. So the question is, what's it all about? Isra Chametz, Isra Devash, what's wrong? What's wrong with sweetening your carbon? So, take a look. Not for now, Sefer HaChinuch, it's a Kufi Zayin, I had a chance to share with some of you earlier this week. He has four or five different themes, major themes that he sees emerging in the Isra Sarah Gosh. Very, very, very fascinating. Could I take a look when you have a chance? It's a Kufi Zayin in this week's Parsha, HaChinuch. And the Rabban writes in Parak Bey in Pasuk Yud Aleph, is strikingly different. Here, the other page pointing off the bottom of page Zion, the second last line. The Tamas are about Vash. What's the reason for forbidding chametz and sweetness in Karbanos? We're here going most specifically in Karbanos Mitzvah. Yitachen, it's conceivable, says Rabban, Shukin the Rarab Mordavukim. It says the Rabban writes the Mordavukim. Shemotza b'sifreihem, Rabban says Rabban researched Avodah Zarah extensively, and for clinical halachic purposes, both not possible child's, and to figure out the reasons for mitzvahs. And in his research, he found there were Ovdei Avodah Zarah where the common practice was that all the Karbanos were Karbanos. The Arbat Vash were called Karbanim. And they would mix honey into all the Karbanos. And that's why the Torah forbids it. The Chazal and Rabbi Seinu, the Chazal have a similar concept. Matseva, Shaisa, the Teres, Neha Abos, the Yachakach, Sina Hashem. Chazal point out, the psukim, yeah, I think we had in Parshas Yisrael, say you're not allowed to make a matzeva. A Jew is forbidden to offer a carbon to Kadosh Baruch Hu on a single stone of his death.
Batseba is a single stone. We're starting to call it a steel. S-T-E-L-E. A single stone. That's it. That's it. In Issa Doris. It has to be a Mizbach Avanim. It has to be a Mizbach made of multiple stones. The Jews not allowed to offer carbon on a Matseba. So Chazal Kamen, I believe it's in Yisro, it's certainly a Chumash Devar. Probably for A. It's Chazal Kamen, what do you mean? Oh, look at Chumash Gracious. The officers are using my Matsebas. Yaakov Avinu, after the dream, a Matseba. Menasech Shemim. What's going on? So Chazal Kamen, that's what he quotes it. Matseba Shais in the first of the Yavas. The Matseba was beloved in the days of the Yavas. But Sinah Hashem, the Shazahullah, hope the Lord is our. By the time, several centuries later, time about the Torah, and it become a popular Avodah Zarah item, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu forbade it. Kemo Shamar Asher Sonei Hashem Elokeh. Now God writes, that's similar, that's analogous to what the Rambam is saying, that since Sa'or and Devash were common idolatrous practices, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forbade them. So what you see is, and the Ramban is willing to accept the concept of the Ramban. And there could be details. It could be one of the issues with Karbanos is avoiding fighting against Avodah Zarah. The Ramban does not think that that's a valid, adequate explanation for the whole institution of Karbanos. Once you have Karbanos, there could be details that have to do with fighting Avodah Zarah. But the one that Karbanos in the first place, it's much more than merely Sur Meirah. Not just a question of finding Avodah Zarah. Let's go further in Paragraph Pasuk and then this is how to take more questions. So kind of back to page of days, the second page in front of you. Let's see what the Ramban himself has to say. Right for imagery number 10, number 11. Yoser Roy the Moyen. Yoser Ra'ui Lishmoa Hatam Shomrin Bohem. I find it more appealing, more tenable, the other idea that the earlier we showed today, because people's action, the people's approach, is really expressed in three different dimensions, three different modalities, in thought, in speech, and in action. We have an internal life and external life. We have an inner landscape and behavioral patterns. Siva with Hashem, because Yechta, the Avi Karban, a person does a chet, and he's doing a karban. And now what's he doing? Yisro, Yodim Allah, Kenegan Amaisa. You have to be physically involved, lean on it, do smith on the karban, and he's Madev, the Pimp Kenegan Jibur. You need to verbalize, you need to talk about your chet. And Yisro, Ba'esh, I care about Kloya, which is claim Akshava, not Taiba, after I am connected to the Morocco to Adam, Ka'osim Kol, Melachta. And then different parts of the animal are burnt that symbolize thought, desire, and action, reminding us that we need to change all of those levels of what's been going on. We did a chet, that means we're behaving appropriately, also means that our internal compass was off. Yidrok Hadama Mizbeach Keneged Dama B'Nafsha. The Zrikas Hadam, he spoke earlier this week about how the Dam is the most central part of the Kovnus Behema. Why? Because that represents life itself. Circulation is life. Lack of circulation is death. Kedesha Yachshov Adam Ba'asosa Tal Eile Yichoto Leilokav Begufo U'Benafsha. It reminds a person, it reinforces doing this, seeing this, that the chet was comprehensive. That there is a tikkun in me, the way I act, it's good in me, the way I speak, it's good in me, the way I think and feel, what my priorities are, and how I'm living my life. No? I misused my, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the gift of life, and I misused it, I don't deserve it. But, Chazdei Hashem, this is not one striking it out, it's not the way he runs the world. The major dose of Yitzhak. So, Chesed Abore, to give us a chance to go through that symbolically, the Chibra Karbon Hazeh, Double tachas double. Nefesh tachas nefesh. Rosh Eivar and Tarpet connected Rosh Eivar. So he says again, the core concept of the carbon is to see, it's a chance to symbolically think about what so profoundly needs to be changed. And we misuse our ability to think, we misuse our ability to act, we misuse our ability to speak, because Baruch Hu B'Tuvo gives us another chance. This is a very powerful visual. That's the most powerful Shuvah visual. Wow, that's lean on the carbon. Imam is lean on the carbon, and you talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu while you lean on the carbon, and V'smicha and V'doy, you brought the sample, you mocked the sample, and then you watch the way the Kohanim process it. And there's so much symbolic meaning to what they're doing that speaks to the sort of profound changes, the transformation needs to happen in the way I act, in the way I think, the way I feel. That's powerful stuff. And then, Rabban says, and how about giving to the fact that Kohanim eat? Because that's the added piece. Habanosa ha'piyot and mori ha'torah shikawa. So you give the Torah also prescribes, ideally, you're going to give a part of the carbon to feed the Kohanim or the teachers of Torah. And turn the Eldama for you. You should recognize that you have a relationship there. And they'll daven for you, and they'll help. The carbon atonement. But unfortunately, not so rav nechatotav. That's even with constant evidence. Eilu dvar miskablin moshrim haleh kidivra adam. He says, this is an attractive idea. Attractive idea goes on to say, al darach ha-emes ish b'kabar asol nel. It goes on, and this is the point at which we say goodbye to Rabban. He says, the symbolic approach is attractive and meaningful, and there's deeper mystical capitalistic impact to what you're actually doing when you're bringing carbon, and we should all be zocha to have that at some point in our lives to have the kalim to actually understand what El Rabban has to say. So yes, as we saw in Parash Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, there certainly is an element of anti-voters, of the anti-voters are polemic with being accomplished or bringing upon us. But Rabban writes it's much more than that. There's al pi kabbalah, you accomplish whatever you're accomplishing, and even al derech negle, there's a positive accomplishment in terms of symbolizing a Jew is bringing a carbon, major significant idea. Sort of like but sometimes you see something that really jars you, and so realizing like, ah, I really need to take this seriously. I mentioned the other day that there are some smoking cessation programs, programs to help them quit smoking, that will take clients to lung wards in hospitals. What happens when end stages of lung disease that's a result of smoking? When you see that, it wakes you up. The smoker knows that. Yeah, in the long run, he might get sick. But in a doma shmi al maria, to see it, all of a sudden the guy says, I don't want that. So the carbon, in a sense, is you don't need to see some other person. The animal becomes a visual for you. Your maisa needs changing. Your makshava needs changing. You really don't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you the gift of Korach HaMachshava, of Korach HaDibur, of Korach HaMaisa, and you blew it. You blew it. But as Rabbi says, the Mias HaRachman will give you another chance. You can understand what's going on. Don't just take it for granted. It closes with a quick mushroom from the Dibur. We wrap this whole idea up. And that takes the question. The Ramagid comments on a very elusive pasuk in Ha'azinu. Suri Ladach, Ha'azinu is all poetry. There were some sukkah are particularly difficult to make that. Suri Ladach, Ha'teshi, Ha'tishka, Ha'kel, Ha'kol, end of the Aliyah, Mitzvah Shabbat. Suri Ladach, Ha'teshi, the rock, Mi'akadosh Baruch Hu, who's our source of stability, unchanging. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ladach, Ha'teshi, the birthed us, and he created us, Keshi, forgetfulness,
Atishkach kem b'cholat. And you Jews, you forgot your Baal Shem. So how do you say you love Kateshin? So the different approaches. When Maggid says, he thinks it means that Kadosh Baruch Hu creates with the ability to forget. He gives the following mashal. The fellow and shtetl down his luck. He's being hounded by mobsters. They're trying to hit him up for money. Poor guy. There's no reason why he should have to pay the money. And this is a bunch of mobsters. They didn't have the money to pay even if he wanted. He comes to one of the more successful people in town. He says, well, what do I do? Well, how am I going to get out of it? And they shall walk and knock on your door and ask for the cash. You'll just give them goofy smiles. And you'll start whistling and doing cartwheels. And you'll make it seem like, Nebuch, you're no longer mentally capable. But that happened. They come knocking on the door late at night, a couple nights later. And he answers the door and he acts like someone who's no longer thinking, actually. And they say, he's a broken man, like we're not gonna do well. Not worth our time. Dr. Hashem, he dodges the bullet. A couple days later, he meets his advisor on the street in Shtetl. He says, I just want to thank you so much. Your advice was excellent, it really worked. He says, it's great, let's welcome back. By the way, remember I lent you $20 last week? We have it. The fellow says, he's a goofy smile. And he's got the gun and says, yeah. The guy says, I taught you that trick. You can't turn around the height of ingratitude to think you're going to use it on me. Besides the fact that you actually do legitimately owe me money. Surya loves Hakeshi, says the Duhamagid. Kadosh Baruch Hu created us with the gift of the ability to forget. We remember every time someone aggravated us, we remember every time that something didn't work the way we wanted to, it would be unbearable misery. Everyone's life is full of successes and failures, and there's Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the gift of being able to forget stuff. And at the moment it may hurt, but we're able, with the passage of time, to put lots of things behind us. To move things from the foreground to the back. It's a gift from Kadosh Baruch Hu we can use well. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a gift, the ability to forget. Surya like Kadesh. But instead, like Tishka came the whole echo. You use it to forget him? You use it to forget him? What a chutzpah. We often forget our Baal Shem, but we're misusing the very gift that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us, the Tov Maaseinu, and misuse it against him. That's his blessing. How can you do that? The truth is, we all do it all the time. We all do it all the time. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the gifts of life. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us gifts of intelligence. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the gifts of desire. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us all sorts of gifts and abilities and resources. And sometimes we use them well to do Ritzon Hashem, and sometimes we use them poorly to act against your Baal Shem. What a chutzpah. We use Kadosh Baruch Hu's gifts to me to act contrary to him. What a chutzpah. What a pachshupan. We all do it. That's what it means to do any kind of life. By definition, using the gift of life against it. So we need to recognize that and seek over time to do that less frequently. That's exactly, says Ramban, the goal of the karma. Understand, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you a body, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you a power to them, and so on and so forth. And you just trashed it. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you the gift, and you used it to act contrary to his wishes. What is this? But Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mechaz Ketuvo, doesn't say you misused it, you misused and lose. No. You misused it. Look at the karma and do a better job next time. For the Ramban, that's the goal of the karma is intensely positive. Intensely positive in terms of this way for us to grow. He did not address one major question, which is what would you deal with karmas? Ola, non-chatos karmas. He did mention a little bit at the very end about the karma. Talmud has to do with people who are doing katan all the time, so it's sort of like a catch-all for all the other, you know, katan that weren't otherwise covered. Let us say for Achilah, back in Parshas Truma, he addresses it as a greater
limit.
The Rabbi gives us an important insight in terms of the, yes, there may be details which are anti-Bonzara, but fundamentally, it's very, very powerful symbolism in the carbon that's meant to make us fit, and meant to jar us out of the bad rut, and to reassess and to realize, you know, some of the ideas Rabbi sees, in addition to which we should be at some point in our lives, to be able to understand the Al-Darat Ha-Emes Kabbalistic. You're waiting very patiently for that. I'm not sure. It's a good question, I'm not sure. I will tell you one thing. I'm just Rashi now. One idea is for Achimah to develop. In Mr. Sadiyeh, also Mikish extensively, he keeps referring to it again and again throughout the rest of Kodesh Ikra. He says that what the Ramban was telling us is essentially an example of Akhriyat Kulas from Shakar al Dabas. And you're going to have activities, you have experiences which reinforce ideas. It's not just talking about ideas, thinking about ideas, you're actually going to either act on that or receive them visually, they're going to become much more impactful. Ramban writes, the impact of the experience is multiplied, the schiluch rights, the impact of the experience is multiplied so much by context, by ambiance. That's why there are so many dinim about what the Mitzvah has to be like. It's supposed to be a place which is incredibly inspiring. Even the architecture was overwhelmingly inspiring, physically and aesthetically, and he says, spiritually, it's a place of unusual tahara, unusual focus. He says, the context is carefully calibrated to vastly multiply the impact of Avos HaKarban, in terms of the impact of people. They're doing it anyway. Welcome to Beis HaMikdash. Whoa. And you're going to bring a carbon, that's going to really hit you hard. So that. And he talks about the fact also that it's incredible that the Reyach may have to do that also. And he did Rabbi Zeram, the two talks extensively, multiple times, about the elegance of the Beis HaMikdash. That is meant to be very elegant, all of that enhanced the effectiveness in Karban's effectiveness. And maybe Reyach also. It smells amazing. Smells gorgeous. You know. And then maybe it adds to the ambiance as well. The smell of of roasted meat and the smell of the tonus, this is a real perhaps. It doesn't fully address it because it's something we know of Kabbalah Kodesh Baruch Hu being a Riyah for Riyah. So I have to figure out what that means. And I will say that of the five senses, the Kodesh Baruch Hu smell is obviously a matter, we're using human realities as a metaphor for Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's anthropomorphic, which is all we have. It's always by definition limited. God is finite, God is infinite, we're finite. So our descriptions are always limited. Of the five senses that human beings have, smell is the least physical. It's the most ethereal. Even from a physiological perspective, I believe that in terms of from a neurological perspective, I think in a certain sense it's the most direct from sensory organ to brain. And even it deals with air. It deals with airborne particles. Everything else is more tangible. When you taste things, the part that's not actually smell, and your tongue is touching a solid chunk or a liquid flow of something. You feel, you see, you hear. Here it also is a vibration of the air. But smell we notice. Without advanced scientific training, you notice that you're smelling the air. We do see, and it's a part of breathing. You already see parts of gracious, Nishima, breathing, the language you use, that we're talking about the Shama, the language of the Tzukim, using the way the Tzukim describe the process of HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowing a human body with a neshama is to breathe. Yipa ba'apa nishmasai. You breathe the neshama into human beings. What does it actually mean? Is it some divine reality? But the best human description for that divine reality is breathing. So there is something very spiritual about breathing. So we understand a little bit, that haracha, smelling, is in a certain sense the most ethereal, the most spiritual of the five senses. So when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu smelling, it may be a way of saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sensed in a non-physical way, sensed in an exalted way. That's the human way to say that he smelled. Even the way in which people, again, neurologists and psychologists have studied extensively, the way in which your mind, the way in which your brain makes connections with different types of sensory stimuli, the way you react to smell is unique. And that the power of smell to bring back old memories tends to be stronger than other types of stimuli. And there's definitely something unique about smell as a physical reality, and that's why it's a powerful metaphor for something else. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interacting, so to speak, sensing our presence.